anatomy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Woke up to CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah. CMIB. Yeah, yeah.
There's a story that caught my attention lately, and I'm finding it fascinating only because of the, it's North Korea. North Korea has always fascinated me, and then I kind of check in every now and then. They shoot missiles over Japan a lot, so they pop up in the news. In the past, South Koreans have sent memory sticks with music, Korean dramas, food, medicine, and money over the North Korean border. So what they do is they connect it to a balloon, and they float it up in the air, and the wind will carry it over. This is often led by North Korean defectors. So people who lived in North Korea have defected to the South and are trying to get other people to understand, you know, there's a different world, a different way they could do it. They should defect too. So if you're North Korean and a loyal North Korean, then this is, you know, what would you call it? This is the worst kind of propaganda, showing people that there's a different life outside of North Korea that might actually be better. I remember a story of two North Korean, basically high school boys, who were sentenced to prison because they were watching episodes of Friends. They were watching episodes of Friends because they got a hands on the, they got their hands on one of those USB sticks and it had some Friends on it, and they watched Friends. So they watched an English American show, not just a K-drama, and that got them sent to prison for who knows how long. I mean, this is North Korea, so the sentences are quite arbitrary. Last week, North Korea, well, they must have had a meeting of something, and they're like, you know what? We're going to send something back over the border. We're gonna send a message, and that message is going to be really clear that you don't want to do this. You shouldn't do this anymore. So they were like, we're going to send balloons back over the border. The military explosives unit was dispatched to check on the balloons. There were more than 260 balloons that were dropped through to North South Korea. They had plastic bags attached to them. So these plastic bags, there's a question of what did North Korean, this was done officially, this was done by the government. What are we going to put in these plastic bags? So if you were at the meeting, you'd have like a North Korean general maybe, and he's like, what should we put in the bags to demonstrate the resolve and the might of North Korea? And then for some reason, there was a five-year-old in the room, and the five-year-old went, poop. The North Korean general then looks around the room and goes, we want to lure South Koreans from their decadent lifestyle back to the North Korean family they should have known and reunite the North and the South. What would represent North Korea's desires in that way the best? What could we put in that to send that message? And then the five-year-old speaks up again and goes, poop. And then everyone around the table went, you know, he makes a good point. Who let the five-year-old in? If you ever watch any of those old movies, 80s movies did this a lot, where you had kids were the main characters, and then it somehow involved the military. And then at some point in the movie, there's a literal military meeting with kids in the room, and they're like giving comments and advising these adult generals on what should be done in the situation. Usually it was the aliens and stuff. It was very silly to look at, and the more you think about it, the more ridiculous it is. But it does make sense for this situation, because how would you get a group of military leaders to go, you know what we should do? We should put poop in bags, attach it to balloons, and send it across the border. And that's going to send some kind of message. The message, to me, is a bit garbled. I'm a bit unsure of what it actually should be. So what actually was in it was plastic trash and manure. The reason we know that it was manure and not human feces was because it must have been someone's job to test it. So the explosive unit rushes out. So these are like very serious military guys. They know how to defuse bombs. These bomb disposal guys get to these balloons. And there's 260 of them. So there's a lot. So there's like no time to waste. They have to check them and analyze them, make sure they're safe, make sure they're not going to hurt anybody. And they, you know, going to have to go through a lot of procedures to open them carefully. And they open them one after the other and spread it out. So they would have had to find all the particulate in it. So the plastic, the papers, and the manure, and then they have to send it back to labs for testing. And so that is how we know there is no human feces. It was manure from animals. And I just think of there's some poor guy, that's his job. His job was to test it. North Korea stated that balloons from the South were dirty things and a dangerous provocation. Mounds of waste paper and filth will be sent in response. So what they're saying is if you send balloons over the border to the North, we are going to send balloons back over the border full of garbage and manure. In 2014, the North tried shooting the balloons down. I do like they use the word try, because that means they weren't successful. So they have a, these are big balloons. Like, these are supposed to carry the contents for miles, and they're shooting at them, and maybe they're not very good shots. I don't know. It's because I hear stories about how the North Korean military, all they do is train, so they're very good. But then you also hear they also have no food. So how can they be very good at anything? They got a lot of complaints of people who live near the border. So those people were saying, like, please don't shoot down the balloons, or try to shoot down the balloons anymore, because the guns are going off all night. In 2021, the government in South Korea said, we should put a ban on these balloons. It's provoking the North. We don't want that. It's going to cause trouble. We don't want some of the shooting at balloons and then the bullets come down somewhere in South Korea and actually injure someone by accident. That could accidentally set off war. We don't want that. But then a court said, well, telling people they can't send messages to North Korea is a violation of free speech. So sending the balloons from South Korea to North Korea is a protected right in Korea, which is a very interesting piece of legislation that had to be discussed. But again, they're trying to send medicine, money. They are sending USB sticks with, like, popular content, K-pop and K-dramas and stuff. Kim Yo-jin, who's North Korean leader's sister, who is kind of poised to take over, and she's very serious looking, she said, we will make it clear that we will respond with 10 times more the amount of filth to what the South sends in the future. So what they're saying is, for every balloon that they send over the border to the North, they're going to send 10 times that amount of balloons, so 10 balloons back, full of garbage and filth. 2 days ago, as of this recording, 90 more balloons were sent. So there's 260 in the first batch, 90 in the second batch. They were full of paper, plastic, and cigarette butts. So you got Korean soldiers and generals and just be like, well, keep throwing in these trash bags, and we're going to tie these trash bags up. Instead of throwing them away, disposing of them, we're going to send them over to the southern border as a message to our southern compatriots that we're better. I don't know what the message there is. I mean, I guess the message is to stop. Don't send this stuff. But I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. There are real world ramifications of this. So I kind of globbed onto this story because the idea of sending poop from North Korea to South Korea as a message was interesting, because in my head, in my heart, in my dreams, what is the message they're actually trying to send? Well, they're trying to say that the stuff you're sending us is dirty. We're sending you something even dirtier back. But the real world ramifications are that there was a treaty signed in 2018 designed to ease tensions surrounding the border. So they're like, we're going to sign this treaty and the South is not going to do military exercises close to the border. Makes everyone nervous. The North is going to ease off the border because that's what makes everyone nervous. And they don't want a war to kick off. But because of these balloons being sent from North Korea to South Korea, they're now talking about suspending this agreement and to start doing drills close to the border, because again, this is where the balloons are coming from. It's sort of invading their country. A Korean general said he will take sufficient and immediate measures, but no clarification is what that was. So it could be we're going to try to shoot down their balloons so that the manure from their balloons falls on their border and doesn't get to us, so they have to pick up their own garbage. So far, no one's been hurt. Now, these balloons have like a timer in them, and they think the timer is supposed to pop the balloon when it's over a city center and then drop the balloon into the city, something like that. That could fall on someone and hurt them. Again, this is problematic because this is how a war could kick off in the future. My biggest concern, North Korea is testing missiles all the time. They shoot missiles, they go towards Japan, over Japan, into the Sea of Japan, all around. And it is, you get missile alerts on your phone. Like, we get that regularly. And then one of the problems is new people come to Japan and I meet them and then they hear about missiles being shot and they like freak out. I'm like, no. That's like literally a weekly occurrence in Japan, just North Korea shooting missiles. My concern though, so they tend to just fall into the water and then it's just a test, is my actual concern is they hit a fishing vessel or something else by accident. So they don't actually right now intend to do anything, but you know, it's a show of force. It's intimidation. But if they hit a boat and they hit that boat by accident and kill some Japanese or South Korean fishermen, citizens, the government has to respond. There's no way you can actually just let that go. Like, you killed 5, 10, 15, maybe 20, 30 people. Depends how big the boat is. You can't kill that many people and then not have a response. North Korea being the way it is, they never admit to any wrongdoing. So they're not going to apologize. They're not going to say they did something wrong. They're not going to try to make any amends for that. They're going to stick to their guns and say, well, you shouldn't be fishing in our waters, even though it's not their water, something like that. And that's where the problem is going to arise. So right now, sending poop across the border is actually quite funny, but you can see it escalates, and these small escalations tend to have real world problems, which actually could be an issue, but still, maybe they should get that 5-year-old out of the room. CMIB, yeah. This is something I've maybe talked about in the past, and it's kung fu fights to the death. And I talk about kung fu a lot. I like this kind of genre of stuff, and I like fighting movies and stuff. But kung fu movies had a thing that I always found was illogical, and it was the fights to the death of the best to prove which style was the best style. Because the problem is, if you have the two best kung fu guys in the world, let's say there's a group of 10, they're the best kung fu guys in the world, and two of them fight and one of them has to die. Now, that guy who died, that means you now only have 9 of the best kung fu guys in the world. And it's not like someone just moves up into that position. There is a skill gap that is created. So if those 10 guys all have to fight each other until there's only one left, that means those guys who were all the best in the world don't get to teach anyone else. And that means that lowers the overall quality and skill level of kung fu in the martial arts world. And this has always bugged me. It's one of those things that's illogical to fight to the death in a film if the whole point is to prove that your style is the best. I guess maybe what they want to do is have the other styles die off. But my other thought is, even if you win the fight, it's two of the best fighters in the world fighting means you're going to get hurt. Like, you just get hurt. That's what happens when you fight. They don't usually show that in movies. You recover really quick. People get shot in the shoulder and they just keep running and stuff. I'm sure I would at least have to lie down if that were to happen. I watched Dune 2 recently, and there were a couple elements that struck me as really, I don't know, old, off-putting, way back in the day. I don't know, like an 80s kind of thinking. When I was young, I didn't think about it very much. But now as I'm getting older, I'm seeing it, and it doesn't sort of fit in movies anymore. And it's when the bad guy lashes out and kills an underling standing too close to him. So this, maybe the most iconic ones were Darth Vader. Now, he would kill people. He would like crush their throat when they failed or when they didn't do what he wanted. But in Dune 2, you have the young Harkonnen leader guy. And basically someone's standing next to him and he says, like, let's go over here. And that guy goes, well, we can't go over there. And he slashes his throat. And the guy dies. And you think that would only happen once or twice before people would be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to stand within arm's reach of that guy. But the problem is, they should be promoting competent people to these positions. This is an organization. So they should be promoting people into these positions who have a certain skill set. And if, because they have to deliver information to you that you don't like, that you actually kill them in that moment, well, that's problematic, because you're now taking these skilled managers and workers around you and getting rid of them, which means they have to be replaced. And then, so like the guy who has to look at the screen for you and deliver information, you have to replace that guy. So the guy gets promoted in that position. Maybe he's not ready for that position yet. Maybe he doesn't have those skills. Maybe he is smart enough to stay out of arm's reach, though. That actually would be an interesting thing. But I'm concerned that the overall level of competence is going to be minimized, because anyone with any real competence is going to realize, like, I don't want to be promoted to the point where I am within arm's reach of the head bad guy, because when the head bad guy gets upset, he kills people. And I came up with there's kind of like 4 solutions to this. And one is, you don't stand within arm's reach. This doesn't work with Darth Vader, because he was using the Force, so he could choke you. He actually did one where he choked a guy on another spaceship because he was looking at him through a view screen. And he promoted the guy standing next to him. But that, again, I was like, that guy standing next to him, he might have been standing next to him for a reason, because he wasn't actually very good. B, quit the job. So like, they're going to promote you to stand next to the bad guy who's going to kill you if he gets upset. And you're the guy who has to deliver bad information. You know what's going on. You know what? I'm going to quit this organization. Early retirement. I'm out. Because that's the end of your career path. The end of your career path is, you stand next to that guy. You have to tell him some real information that he should be able to act on. And then he slashes your throat. The ones that are more realistic, though. So you're in this situation. You've been promoted this position. Let's say it's a military thing and you can't, because it's desertion if you run away. You would end up not giving him the bad news. So you're given bad news, and you're like, if I deliver this bad news to him, he's going to kill me. So I'm either not going to deliver the bad news, or I'm going to reinterpret the bad news so it doesn't sound bad, so that I can survive, which means this leader is now no longer getting accurate, like faithfully accurate information for him to act on properly, which is what crumbles the entire organization at the end of the day. I actually would like to see a movie made by that. It's actually the underlings, the subordinates, and they're like, okay, we have to deliver this information, like, we found the rebel base, or the rebels are still alive. And they're like, okay, but we have to say this in a way that makes it sound like we've won or we're not going to have a problem. And in that way, maybe we can remain living for an extended period. So it's them manipulating information all the time. And that's how the empire would collapse, because none of the information would actually get to the people who are supposed to act on it or give instructions. And the last one, very simple, I would run away. And this is probably the most realistic one, is like, I guess it technically counts the same as quit your job. If you could quit formally, that would make more sense and be probably a better idea. But realistically speaking, you're probably not, you don't get that option. So you just start to run. You're like, I'm going to get out of here. I know if I don't, he's just going to kill me. And the alternative is you get caught and get killed anyways. So there's no real downside to just bailing on the whole situation altogether. I don't see it as movies as much anymore. Maybe this is because Dune 2 is based on a book. I think it's from the 80s, maybe even the 70s. And so they still were doing this thing. Like the whole point of the bad guy just lashing out and killing someone because they heard bad news was to show how bad they are. But I think we've now gotten to a point where you need a different reason or a different way to show that, because it actually makes less logical sense to kill your underlings. And going on with movies, like, I'm just tired of people being all shitty and sarcastic to each other. I started playing a video game called The Callisto Protocol. And at the beginning, it has the two guys, the pilot and the co-pilot, and they're just being snippy to each other. And I'm like, not in a friendly way, not like two friends who are like bantering. They were just like annoyed at being with each other. And I was like, how do these guys actually work together in a successful way if they're so annoyed with each other all the time? It doesn't make sense. And so I think writers, if you're going to write movies and you have a bad guy in it, you want to show how bad the bad guy is, lashing out and killing someone, that is not the answer. That is now a trope and it's now off the table. I am now disallowing that as an option. Okay, last little bit. I accidentally quit caffeine. It's about 2 weeks ago now. So I just woke up and I was really busy and I had a rough day ahead of me. So I just went out and I got out there and I started going and I went to work. And then about halfway through the work, maybe it was a couple hours later, I started getting the headache. And I was like, oh, I actually had this headache before. It's a caffeine headache, but I'm busy and I'm working, so I can't stop. So I started popping medicine and that sort of helped. But I actually went through the sweats. I had the headache. I felt pain. I felt like exhausted. It was awful. It was a terrible, terrible day. And I was like, you know what? I know that caffeine addiction kind of gets out of your system in a day or two. You still get the cravings and stuff, but the worst part is already over. I've already suffered through it, so I might as well quit caffeine. So then I just quit caffeine. I was like, not going to drink any more Coke. I never drank coffee, but anything with caffeine, I'm going to try to stop. I do get allergies though, and I was still getting headaches. So you still get headaches for a while. And the headaches are the worst part because I get headaches for a lot of different reasons. I'm very sensitive to headaches. So what I thought was, okay, I'll just take aspirin until this all goes away. And then I started looking at like Bufferin and stuff like that. Looked at the ingredients list because I remembered that almost every drug that you can take, an over-the-counter drug, has caffeine in it. Bufferin Plus, which is the one that I was getting before, has more caffeine in two pills than an entire bottle of like a 500 milliliter bottle of Coke. And I was like, oh, so if I actually quit caffeine and then take headache medicine to get rid of the caffeine headache, it might be the fact that I'm reintroducing caffeine to my body that is actually getting rid of the headache and not the painkillers. So then I had to go start looking for other medicines. I started looking at everything. So I take allergy medicine. I looked at the box, it has caffeine in it. Caffeine makes it get into your blood faster, makes it work into your system faster. If it has a drowsy effect, it'll make you not drowsy. So caffeine's really, really beneficial to have in drugs. An interesting side note is in Japan, they always tell you to take medicine with water. And so I used to take it with Coke. Like I would drink a Coke, down some medicine and drink some Coke. And my Japanese friends and family would all be like, don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. You should take it with water. And I'm like, why? And they go, well, why are you taking it with Coke? I'm like, Coke has caffeine in it. Caffeine makes it get into your body faster. It means it works faster. And they're like, oh no, that's not true. They weren't using any science on this. And I go, well, go get the box and look at the box. And it has caffeine on the box. And they were shocked. Because I was like, you should take it with caffeine because that makes it work faster and sometimes even work better. But I went online and I was like, well, I need to get rid of the headaches. And I looked for some options and it was like, you know, make sure you drink enough water. It was pretty much standard stuff. And it was ways to quit caffeine, so to wean yourself off it. Well, I'd already done the cold turkey and I'd already done it hard and fast, so I might as well just keep up. Going back and weaning myself didn't make sense. And it did warn about like medication often has caffeine in it, that kind of thing. So you got to be careful of all these things. One of the pieces of advice was just don't give up. Because caffeine is so prominent and it's such a big part of people's lives, there's absolutely no reason to give up on it anyways, and your life will just be easier if you don't. Which to me was really awful thing to put in sort of a guide on how to quit caffeine. If you came to this page, it's because you wanted to quit caffeine. I technically already had. But if you wanted to quit caffeine, hey, just give up on the idea of quitting caffeine, that didn't seem like really good advice to me. So maybe it was big caffeine that was actually behind it. Is there a big caffeine? I'm sure there's big drug companies behind everything. It's got to be big caffeine. There's big pharma. It's all the same. So I've quit caffeine. I found the sugar-free, calorie-free, caffeine-free Coke. It was the Coke with the gold band on it. So I kind of drink that when I get a craving for cola. And it's done pretty well. I found that Tylenol, all Tylenol products do not have caffeine in them. So if I get a headache, I'm now taking Tylenol, or I get any sort of pain or injury from judo or something, I take a Tylenol. But I went and looked at the medicine section of the pharmacy, the over-the-counter stuff. And I went and looked at basically every box, and every single box except Tylenol had caffeine in it. And some of it had a lot of caffeine in it. You could actually be like dosing yourself with caffeine way more than you think you are if you're taking headache medicine on a regular basis. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to take the just give up, giving up as a piece of advice. I'm not going to do that.
Enter the mind of the academy. Chop my big chest where the best is a philosophy. Drinking at lunch brings verbal skills like a sucker punch. Welcome to CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah, yeah, CMIB. Yeah.